I need guidance.
Yeah. Call the Senate Finance and Revenue Committee to order. Welcome, everyone. We are running a little late today. As you've all probably noticed, we have a whole capital full of kids and parents and from Stanford Children, and so we're all being pulled in this direction and that direction. So it's been hard on schedules today, but very good for the process. Let's see. I think we'll start out with our public hearing on Senate Bill 394. And Paul, should we do these together, or maybe we'll do them separately? Have a seat, Dane. Thank you. Do you think it makes more sense to do them just one at a time, or one at a time? Okay. Open a public hearing on Senate Bill 394.
Okay. Chair Burdick, members of the committee. For a little bit of background information first, ORS Chapter 311 states laws related to collection of property taxes, and in particular, ORS 311.370 states rules for refunds of excess collections and cancellation of deficiencies. When property taxes on certain properties are collected by law before the extension on the tax roll in November.
Okay, thank you. And we have Diane Belt from Washington County, who is head of the Oregon Association of Tax Collectors.
That would be me.
Okay, please identify yourself for the record. Thank you.
Good afternoon, committee, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Diane Belt, and I represent the Oregon Association of County Tax Collectors, and as the chair indicated, I also work for Washington County. And today, what the tax collectors are proposing in Senate Bill 394, just a little more history, they did a very nice job. We do occasionally have refunds that we are required to issue to our taxpayers. And back in the 93 session, we went to the legislature to pass a bill that on any type of a regular refund that was $10 or less because of the cost, it was about $35 to process a refund check. We don't refund if it's $10 or less. And at the time, I guess we weren't thinking about our pre-collections. And a pre-collection of taxes is done if you're moving a manufactured home from one county to another, if you're paying for a disqualification of farm or timber deferral because you're doing a plat, or changing the use of the property. Another reason might be because the property is combined or divided, so we would collect those taxes in advance. And under current statute, if there is an overage of $5, we don't refund that, and if there's a deficiency of $5, we cancel it. So what this bill would do would be to raise that to the $10 fee, as we're doing with all of our other refunds for consistency.
On this one, though, it also, you estimate it costs around $35 to process it?
Any refund that is done by the county usually costs around $35 to process. Okay.
Did you give any thought to having it more than $10 as a threshold?
Actually, the original legislation was for $20, mm-hmm. But we compromised with the committee. And to be honest with you, as a taxpayer, if it was more than 10, I'd want it back.
Mm-hmm. And how often does this come up?
Not very often. If somebody comes in, it's very permissive. If somebody asks, it's refunded, so it's not like it's a shall. But not very often in my tenure, maybe once or twice. And I believe I provided you with a few numbers of the counties that responded, and as you can see, it's not a substantial amount of funds.
Okay.
We kind of would like things to just be the same.
All right, questions from the committee? Senator Schilf.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I apologize for being a couple minutes, maybe seconds late. But
we explained that we've got a building full of people, and it's a very important priority for all of us, so thank you.
So you may have mentioned this, and I apologize if I'm repeating or asking a question you've already addressed. What on the flip side of that, is there a minimum in collection that you don't, meaning you would forego the $35 to spend to go and collect $10. Is there a minimum which you won't go after collections?
Madam Chair, Senator Telfer, it's a dollar.
Oh, it's a dollar.
Right, because that's a certified, typically when you're, this is a balance due. The statute for, and this is a pre-collection, and for whatever reason, it's always been a dollar. We've never opted to mess with that part of the statute. We've always just kind of stuck with the pre-collections and the overpayments, but none of the tax collectors have really opted to do anything with the dollar deficiency. If it's a dollar or less, we just cancel it. So like if you have a balance of 99 cents, then it's canceled.
Thank you.
I guess we can round up our payments, can't we?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other? You learn all these interesting things on finance and revenue. We have an amendment here I wanted to draw the committee's attention to that changes the language from $10 or more and insert more than $10 on line 25 on page 1 of the printed bill. And I presume that's just to keep it consistent with what the other statute
that's
is.
That's correct, Madam Chair.
Okay. All right. Any other questions from the committee? Thank you very much. Stay put because we've got another one coming up. We're going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 394 and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 395.
Chair Burdick and members of the committee. Again, as for some background information, ORS 311.615 states that notice of warrants to enforce payments of taxes on personal property can be given by 4 consecutive weekly publications in a newspaper of general circulation in the county. This bill wants to change that. And then current service fee for personal property tax delinquency warrant is $15.
Mm-hmm.
And this bill wants to change that.
Okay. You want to go ahead again and introduce yourself again because it's a different part of the record.
For the record, my name is Diane Belt, and I represent the Oregon Association of County Tax Collectors. And once again, good afternoon, Chair and committee members. Senate Bill 395 is dealing with the warrants that we are required to send out for personal property. Personal property consists of business equipment, a manufactured home that sits on land that is not owned by that person. It's rented or leased. That becomes personal property. And after the first third is due, if it hasn't been paid, then that tax becomes delinquent. And the method of the beginning of a foreclosure on that would be to issue a warrant. What this bill would do would be, there are several options in serving the warrant for personal property, one of which is certified mail, one is personal service, and one is publishing it in the local newspaper. Several years ago, our real property foreclosure, we used to have to publish 4 consecutive times, and that was changed to 1. And we probably should have looked at this as well, because this, to publish your warrant, you do also would have to publish it currently 4 consecutive times. And it's very cost prohibitive to publish anything like that in the newspaper. So what this bill would do would be to require 1 first class mail and 1 publication, so that we're a little more consistent with the real property foreclosure. The other part of the bill, we're asking to increase the service fee from $15 to $20. That fee hasn't been increased since about 1983. And at that time, postage to mail certified return receipt requested was $1.65. And that was really hard to find. The post office couldn't even tell me what it was. Currently, it's $5.32, and I see where it's going up again in May or June. So we would like to increase the service charge from $15 to $20. In polling the counties, the average statewide to process is about $18.53. Some are more and some are less. And that's, in a nutshell, what the bill would do.
Okay, and again, does this come up? I mean, is this a very common thing for the counties? I mean, is this a big ticket item?
Madam Chair, yes. In Washington County, we probably issue by certified mail close to 2,000 warrants every year.
Okay.
So, yeah, it is. And that's the first step in collection. What that does is it places a lien against the manufactured home, and it opens the door for garnishment or summary seizure in case you have difficulty collecting. Whereas real property, you go through judicial foreclosure, and the folks have 4 years. Personal property is totally different. We have to go through the warrant method.
Okay, interesting. Questions from the committee? Senator Morris.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just thinking, looking at the costs of issuing for the county, if we come back and have to do bill drafts to raise this fee, what does that cost?
That's true. Well, I was just thinking as she was talking that it would be nice on some of these things to be able to put in some kind of an indexing.
Well, that was next point was there might be some wisdom in doing that so that it reflects actual cost. Sometimes a CPI doesn't actually reflect the cost if you're dealing with changes in postage and different factors other than CPI, but if there's some way to actually doing it on a cost basis, and make that permissive, as opposed to, I don't know, I've heard some big numbers for the bills that we pass out of here for actual cost, but
That's a good point.
Just a thought.
Do you have a comment on that?
Madam Chair, Senator Morris, we did talk about that. We haven't really had to come to you for an awful long time to change it. And I don't, with new technology, back in 1983, a lot of us were still typing them on a typewriter, which we're not anymore. It's the handling and producing those certified mail. That's what takes forever. You fold them, you put them in the envelope, you fill out the receipt, you peel it, you stick it. It's, you know, kind of a hand operation. We did talk about indexing. I'm hoping that with a lot of us going to newer computer systems and stuff, that maybe in the future we might be able to come to you and say, we can lower it now.
Oh, well, good.
But right now, that's not the case.
We don't get that a lot.
I know.
Thank you. Any other questions from the committee? Okay, thank you. Anything more you want to add?
No, but thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate it. And, gee, there are a lot of buses out there.
Yeah, there are a lot of buses. These look like worthy bills, and we will probably see them again later this week.
Thank you.
So thank you. Close the public hearing on Senate Bill 395. Okie dokie. Now, we'll just take care of our little bill intro here. I think we just have one bill draft, Paul. Is that correct? Just one? Okay. Committee, before you have a bill draft, LC 2473, open a work session for purposes of bill introduction.
Madam Chair?
Let's have just a brief summary from Paul here.
Madam Chair, LC 2473, what it does is redirect deposit of interest on late payment of property taxes to the county assessment funding assistance account. This really grew out of the work that was done during the interim by the task force on federal forest payments. Mm-hmm. And so this was one of, I believe, two other drafts that you have that grew out of that work. It's designed to assist the county assessment, county assessors in their funding.
Okay. Senator Morris.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move LC 2473, dated 2/13/09, be introduced as a committee bill.
Senator Morris has moved LC 2473, dated 2/13/09, be introduced as a Finance and Revenue Committee bill. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Thanks, Paul.
Okay.
Now we get the chair of vice here. Do You're the vice chair, Senator Morris, and Mazen is the chair of vice.
Glad to have that clarified.
Okay, we're going to open up a work session on Senate Bill 82. Mazen.
Chair Bredig, committee members, Senate Bill 82 has been in front of you on February 2nd, that's 2-2. And at that time, we discussed the bill. you had, excuse me, you had plenty of questions about the repeal provision of the statute that talks about the cost segregation between different prize games, or the administrative cost of traditional versus video. And today you have in front of you, as you looked at, the Dash 1 amendment. And the Dash 1 amendment basically maintains everything that was in the bill, which talks about the annual reporting rather than the biennial reporting. So that is maintained in the bill. The Dash 1 amendment, what it does, it takes out all that language in page 2 that talks about the repealing the segregation of costs between the traditional and the lottery games. This is the one that you didn't seem to find a lot of affinity for. So that is taken out of the language, which maintains the annual reporting. So that's where the bill is, Madam Chair.
Okay, and if committee members have any questions, we have Larry Neischwender, yes. Whose name I have messed up for years, in the audience if we need him. Basically, this I was a little nervous about having the separate administrative costs of the different parts of the lottery, specifically video lottery, kind of eliminating the requirement that they be reported separately, because there are times when the contracts expire that it's good to know each component. So are there any questions of Mazen or Larry if we need to from the committee? Okay, Senator Morris, we have a Dash 1 amendment.
Madam Chair, I move the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 82.
Senator Morris has moved the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 82. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? So ordered. Senator Morris.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 82 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Morris has moved Senate Bill 82 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Hass, would you like to carry this?
Sure.
Okay. I believe that concludes our business for the day. Take another look here. Well, let's all go find a school bus that we like, and we are adjourned.